the ones that really know that he's a good guy are not sure the Hulk can be trusted because his anger, his emotions get the best of him. So yes, I grew up, it's like reading all these comic books, and I read the Hulk comic books, and for a number of decades, I think the main theme of the Hulk comic book was this. The military was out trying to capture him because his strength and his rage were just too dangerous to be left unchecked. You think God sometimes thinks the same thing about us? We're just, in our point in our society, we have people doing these crazy things out of rage, and we have so much potential for harm. So, welcome to our third week of our superhero series called Infinity Wars. I wanted to thank Janelle specifically for the graphics for this series. It was excellent. This series reminds us, again, that the Bible is full of adventure, full of courage, full of battles of good versus evil. And guys especially, but maybe women too, we like to go to the movies and see all that action. And we forget that it's laying there right there in front of us in God's Word. And we have a craving for superheroes in our society, but I'm not sure we really know how to be a superhero or if God really wants us to be a hero. And so I'm going to try to hit you a little bit hard today with the Word because, well, the Hulk hits hard, so I can hit hard too. If there ever was a parallel between a Bible character and a superhero, it's the Hulk and Samson. They are alike in many, many ways. But first, let me just tell you how they are different. The Hulk, of course, was not born Hulk. He was a normal guy who got caught in some gamma radiation accident that made him turn into the Hulk whenever he got angry. Samson, on the other hand, was special before he was even born. But let me set the stage for Samson and the culture that he was living in. We start in the chapter 13 of Judges, and the chapter starts with this line, and it's heard six other times in Judges. The phrase is, "Again the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord." Apparently, this was becoming a problem. It wasn't like they knew what was evil and then decided, "I'm going to do it." As bad as that is, it was even worse. They were so far from God that they didn't know what evil was. They didn't know up from down or right from wrong. They just did what they wanted. Thomas Brooks once said, "Satan paints sin with virtue's colors." Deep. So Samson was chosen before his birth to be a judge for his people. Now, the angel of the Lord appears before Samson's mom and says to her, "Your son will be a Nazarite for God's chosen people, the chosen people of Israel." So, a Nazarite is basically a person who takes a special vow, including not cutting their hair. And so, when you take this vow and you fulfill these requirements, then you can ask God's help at a special time when you need it. Okay? Now, Samson, I don't know for sure if he was born a strong-willed child or if his parents said, you know, "Oh, he is so special, we're not going to have to, like, scold him and build his character. We're just going to let him do what he wants." Maybe both are true for all I know. I mean, what parent doesn't want to think their child is special? But, of course, we still have to be parents. So, nevertheless, Samson grows up and he is blessed by God, and God's Spirit begins to work in him. And Samson was given this extraordinary strength. He even tore a lion apart with his bare hands. I mean, that's superhero stuff talking there. And he was chosen by God and given the strength as a great gift. But what's unique about Samson was he was also a man of lust, violence, death, and power. He was a man ruled by his impulses. Like the Hulk, we're not sure if we can really trust this guy because his emotions and his impulses rule over him. Some of you relate to that problem? A little trouble with your impulses? A little trouble with your emotions? sometimes, and then all of a sudden you kind of hulk out and lose it. What was interesting about Samson, though, is he was a microcosm of what the nation of Israel was experiencing. Because just as Samson was immature and unteachable, so was the nation of Israel at that point in history. But yet God was still willing to use Samson, even in spite of him. God was still willing to use him. Just as he's still willing to use Israel in spite of their sin, and still willing to use us today in spite of ours. Now, Samson is probably the most flawed of all the judges in that book. Just as probably the Hulk is probably the most flawed in many ways of the Avengers. Samson is really not the hero type. He may have physical strength, but he has really no moral character. And again, he is just like his people. His nation had become so much like the world around them. They didn't really recognize how far they'd gone. You know the old story about the frog in the kettle, right? You turn up the heat slowly, and what does it do? It just sits there, it dies. But if you turn it up quickly, it'll jump out. It recognizes it, right? Well, the nation of Israel had this slow deterioration. They didn't even realize how far away from God they had gotten. But God said, I will not give up on my people in spite of their sin. God can literally work in all things when God chooses to. But this brings up an interesting discussion about Samson and the discussion between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there are many listings of the gifts of the Spirit in the Bible. There's a number of places you can look. I'm just going to read one of them today. So this one comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. It says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of the tongues. And all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So it's clear that God gives a Christian gift, a gift or gifts as they come to trust him and know him. Now, spiritual gifts listed in the Bible are about doing things. They empower you to do, about serving and helping people. Now, I don't think you're going to find anywhere in the Bible that superhuman strength is listed as a spiritual gift, though that verse did say something about miraculous powers, right? But wouldn't it be cool if superhuman strength was a spiritual gift? It's like two guys become Christians and they're best buddies and it's like, woohoo, guess what? I got the superhuman strength as a spiritual gift. What did you get? Gift of administration. I mean, gosh, you know, all gifts are the equal of God, you know, but I'd want the superhuman strength. I think I got the gift of administration, though. But that's the tension. Samson did, in a sense, have that spiritual gift because his gift was for doing. Now, what Samson lacked was the fruit of the Spirit. So we read those in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Whew, there's a challenge. So what do we need to know about the tension between the spiritual gifts and the fruits of the Spirit? Well, there's some things we really should know. First of all, we want the spiritual gift. We want whatever spiritual gift God's going to give you, right? And we have spiritual gift. You have a spiritual gift, at least one. And you can take surveys to find out maybe what you're in. Probably good at, you can volunteer, and we can discover it together what you're good at. And of course, the best truth to find out what your gift is just for other people to affirm it to you. It's easy for me to say I've got the gift of this, but if other people don't affirm that in you, then you might want to be careful about bragging about that gift. Number two, There are dangers to spiritual gifts too, especially if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit working in you, right? Because that's what Samson's problem. Now, the church, we do a spiritual gift thing, and Sue leads that as well, and there's a sheet, a couple sheets on the listing of the spiritual gifts, and what I like about our handout is there's a caution under each one. And that's how I read that. If you don't use the fruits of the Spirit with your spiritual gift, you're actually going to mess things up just as much as you're going to help. And if you want, there's extra copies on the back table there if you decide you want to look that for yourself. I also, just while we're talking about the back table, I've been trying to include the last sermon series or the last few weeks of the sermons that I put in manuscript. I always write it in manuscript before I go to notes anyways. And you can always pick up one of those as well. Unless you just prefer to listen to it online, which is great when it pops up there. So anyways, so if you don't exercise the fruit of the Spirit with any gift, it may work against you. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is actually more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Right? And let me tell you why I know that. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Now, 1 through 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Right? Samson was so enamored with the spiritual gift that he just ignored that he needed to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which is the greater of the two. Not that spiritual gifts aren't important, because they are. But you have to use it within the fruit of the Spirit. So, don't get too discouraged here, because the story of Samson is about someone that God used anyways. God used Samson in spite of himself, in spite of really not having any fruit of the Spirit. So, if nothing else, this is a story of saying, wow, I don't have my life all together. I'm certainly not great at all those fruits of the Spirit. If they're important, but God uses them and uses us anyways. But with Samson, you know, what started out as a gift ended up his weakness. You know, just as God can redeem something bad, so can our sin take something good and corrupt it. And we can use our spiritual gift to cause pain and division and shattered lives with people around us. You know, it's been said that the worst thing God can give us sometimes is success. Because Samson used his wonderful, great spiritual gift as a reason to forget God. And when the evil Delilah came on the scene, Samson was already hooked on passion and danger, knowing his strength would probably bail him out if he needed it to. In fact, Samson told Delilah that his strength came from his hair that had never been cut. As a Nazarite, that was his vow. But the key phrase, I'm not even sure Samson really believed that, what he just told Delilah, that my strength comes from my hair, because listen to this key phrase, and it's easily missed. In Judges 16:20, it says, "He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." He'd become so headstrong. See, it wasn't about the hair. We tend to think it's magical hair, you know. It wasn't really so much the hair. But Samson started to believe that his strength was his, and it could not be taken from him. So the Lord took his strength away at that point and left Samson to face the consequences of his choices. God gives the giver, God takes away. And Samson was captured, and his eyes were gouged out. And even in the midst of all this, God was not done with Samson. My friends, We don't like to think of ourselves like a Samson or a Hulk, but maybe there's more to that than we think. We like to rely on our gifts and our strength to make life work. We use them to get what we want when we want. Thankfully, Samson's story didn't end with that attitude. And ours doesn't need to end that way either. Because finally, at the end of Samson's life, as he is a prisoner with no eyes and has become just totally humbled before God, he finally gets it. The most important moment in Samson's life was his last moments on earth. And he prayed to God to give him strength once more. And with one final prayer, Samson says, "Let me die with these Philistines. Let me die." And at that point, Samson gains the strength back, and he pushes over, as tradition says, the pillars of the temple. And the temple comes falling down on him and everyone around. It kills everyone in it. David Jackman writes, "The Samson narrative begins with a strong man who is revealed to be weak. But it ends with a weak man who was stronger than he ever was before." The Christian life is like that. Only when you, it's kind of like when you over, whenever you do the opposite, God wants you to do the opposite of what your sinful nature does. And then when you do the opposite of what God wants, and you do what God wants you to do, gives you everything back. Right? So let me ask you, are you relying on your strength rather than God's? We came to the altar this morning and we confessed we were weak. But it is so tempting to rely on our strength and our own giftedness, our own spiritual gifts even, because hey, they're spiritual. So therefore, it's good. Where can you let God use your weakness? Because God wants to use your weakness probably even more than he wants to use your strength. Where are you boasting of your gifts rather than God's grace? Don't get me wrong. I like compliments and I like to compliment people, and we have gifts and we use them. And I'm not saying that's good. We need to encourage one another. But just be careful. Because ultimately, right, it's all a gift from God. It's all a gift from God's grace. It's okay to take a compliment. It's okay to give one. But just remember, it's okay. It's God's grace. So what is both the potential and danger of your spiritual gift? You got to know both. There is always a gift that God has given you. And with that gift, there's a danger if you don't use the fruit of the Spirit with it. So are you building your character through the fruit of the Spirit? Those are the hard ones. Those are the ones that take work. Those are the ones that take time. But boy, those are the ones that really make your spiritual gift work well. Make it come alive. Build your character. Learn the lesson of Samson. And you can be strong again.